Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Good Thursday. Thanks for being with us, man. Pump psych geek for tonight. How can you not be, right? Even if you're one of those that is rooting for another NFL team, this is the city that you live in. This is Maricopa County. This is across the state of Arizona. And tonight on national display is a good Cardinal, very, very good. I wouldn't say great. I'd say very, very good Cardinal team. Great is a team that we throw great around very loosely in this day and age in sports. I will say great in the terms of our guest list today. Jim Nantz is going to be with us in about 10 minutes. CBS, NFL Network, Hall of Famer. He is doing tonight's game. Jim Nantz will join us here just after 10:20. Looking forward to that. He became an honorary Thunderbird yesterday. I was at the luncheon, and what a great time that was, and the job that the Thunderbirds do. So Jim is going to do, imagine your work schedule would be, so you're going to do a Super Bowl, and then you're going to go do a Final Four, and then you're going to go do a Masters. That's Jim Nantz's workload in 2016. Actually, I was very pleased yesterday as he was speaking that he acknowledged that 2017, having the Final Four in Glendale, and how terrific that that's going to be as well. That's a big, big deal. So Jim Nantz will join us here in a few minutes. We're bringing Pedro back for another appearance on this week's show. We usually don't do this sort of thing. Did Pedro fight us? Are we having to pay him? Are we moving the decimal point three down?
No, he never fights with me. He might fight with you sometimes on the air, but he never fights
with me.
It's
like 0.50 cents we give Pedro for coming on the show.
I don't handle payroll here, so yeah. I'm not sure.
Yeah. We have payroll here? So Pedro's going to be with us.
Volunteer work most of the time.
The Diamondbacks, can you believe that they're now chasing Brandon Phillips? And they're introducing Greinke tomorrow at 11 a.m. Tomorrow morning at 11 a.m., Zach Greinke officially becomes a Diamondback. So we go from the national stage, national spotlight tonight of Cardinals-Vikings to the national stage, the national spotlight of Zach Greinke coming here, and that will be tomorrow. So Pedro Gomez will join us. We'll talk about the Shelby Miller deal. Like, if you're Brandon Phillips, and I'll get into this a little bit later in the show, but if you're Brandon Phillips, why would you not waive your no-trade clause? What is the point in staying in Cincinnati? So we'll get into that a little bit later on in the show as well. But off the top here, the Cardinals and Vikings play tonight. And if you're going to the game, leave now. Like Eric's going to the game tonight. And I've got some people that want me to go with tickets. However, if I go and where I live versus where the game is, means we go into two different time zones. It is so far away.
And you'd be better off after the game just coming back here to our Skyview studios and sleeping on that couch
just
over there to your right.
Here. I've done that twice since we started this. Twice. And that's too many, two times. Twice too many. So I don't know if I'm going to go or not. When you go sit out, this will sound very snobbish. It's not meant to be. When you go sit in the stadium with the fans, and you try to look at a game much differently than how you've always looked at it. You know, you're in a press box. You have it's very quiet. People are working. They're typing all around you. They're texting. They're tweeting. You're taking in content from all different angles. I get out in the bleachers, or I get out in the seats. And it doesn't matter where the seats are. I get out in the seats. And I start fidgeting because I don't know what to do. I've never been one that goes to a bunch of games just to go sit out there and enjoy them. I'll take my son to like an ASU game because those are harmless. You go to an NFL game, you're locked and loaded. Everybody around you is locked and loaded. So I don't know about going tonight because I do want to see what happens with Adrian Peterson tonight.
I'm going to list you as doubtful.
Yeah. I would list me as doubtful.
There's a chance, but you're probably not going to make it.
Very nice people, very nice seats, all that stuff. But I've got to look out for everything that we're doing.
When you live in Albuquerque, it's not easy to get. It's not easy to get to Glendale.
I tell people I can see Tucson's skyline from my house. I'm so far out.
Half kidding.
No, I know you've been out there once, only once. Eric is the one that sent me an invite to our own company Christmas party that he's going to hold at his house rather than me running the company saying, this is where we're going to hold it, which was fine. I'm glad he reminded me we need to do a Christmas party. We're kind of busy this time of year.
And it's on a weekend, so you don't have to fight the traffic.
No, that's true.
So
that's
you guys fight enough traffic as it is.
Stopping Adrian Peterson tonight. This is really scary to me where the Cardinals are meeting Adrian Peterson, because he's the best back, in my opinion, in the National Football League still. And when he doesn't get many touches like last week, and was it Mike Zimmer conserving Adrian Peterson because he could tell, look, it's not happening today. It's just not happening. So Adrian Peterson went off. He went off about how he wasn't used properly, used correctly. We have Adrian Peterson and LeSean McCoy going off on their own separate tangents. And running backs can have that. And wide receivers, is it a diva mentality with wide receivers and cornerbacks? At running back, is it an ego thing with them, just that I need my touches? I don't believe that it's Adrian Peterson saying, I am not going to hit this incentive clause in my contract if I don't get enough catches or touches. I don't think that's it at all. Is it just when you're the guy and you're the running back, you're going to expect to get the 25 to 30 touches? And so you meet Adrian Peterson, who's pissed. Mike Zimmer, who got embarrassed the last couple of weeks. The Vikings are in the race, but, you know, they've not looked much like a playoff team here the last couple of weeks. And they come in here tonight on a national stage, and if there was ever a time to expect Adrian Peterson to do the 219 yards, four touchdown routine, tonight would be the night. If you're sitting there and you're Adrian Peterson at halftime with 6 yards on five carries, for the Cardinals, it's an enormous win. I don't think Teddy Bridgewater can beat the Arizona Cardinals with his arm. I don't think, because the Vikings are talking about not having four of their starters on defense tonight. I don't think that the Cardinals, and you have to look at it from this perspective, these are the final four games of the season. If you're the Vikings, can you make it into the playoffs? You've got to find ways to manage your roster. It's like the Cardinals have managed to get this far without many major injuries. You know, Frosty Rucker and Corey Redding are two guys that are rotation guys that are critical, I think, for the Cardinals when it comes to playoff time. You have to have those rotation guys. Losing Andre Ellington and Chris Johnson, we talked about this ad nauseum the last week and a half. You can find ways to replace those guys. I don't know if there's been a quarterback that's taken more hits than Carson Palmer that I've seen this season. And yet Carson Palmer has hung in there. Are the Vikings in a game tonight where you have a short week, your team's already beat up, that you're just trying to manage to get through this game? Because the pressure to me, now Larry Fitzgerald Sr. said on the show yesterday, he didn't agree with me on this, that the pressure was squarely on the Vikings to win. Yeah, Seattle's coming on down the stretch. This is what the Seahawks do. They don't look good in September. They have issues going on. And somewhere around the middle of November, they've still been hanging in there. And then they show up like they did last week at Minnesota, and they kick them all over the field. And are they getting themselves cranked up for an end-of-season run, culminating with the game here against the Cardinals? So I can never say, boy, the Cardinals have got it all sewed up. You just have to keep stacking victories. That's why tonight, this is not one of these bad games. There's been some bad, brutal games on Monday night and Thursday night in recent weeks. And these Thursday night games can sometimes not be well-played games. When you're asking these grown men to turn back around on 3 days rest and go right back at it in the recovery time, it leads to bad football. So would it surprise me if tonight's game is a 12-10 slugfest? Really wouldn't. But if you look at everything on paper around tonight's game, the Vikings are beat up, banged up. The Cardinals, I think the last few weeks, have been able to manage to get through and really put their foot on the throat of the Rams. But if Adrian Peterson goes off tonight and he's angry, he's upset, that's the guy tonight. He goes out and gets 20 carries and gets 60 yards. Cardinals win. Cardinals have to win unless David Johnson drops the ball on the turf and he's shown a propensity to fumble. I would like to see them get through a clean game tonight from that regard. Jim Nantz will join us here in a couple of minutes. Suns won last night over Orlando in a game that had its moments. And the Magic had a chance to tie it at the end. I thought they got bailed out on a call. I watched some of that. And U of A beat Fresno State last night. That had the feel and look of a college basketball game that was early December during finals. Oh, wait, it was on both fronts. So that wasn't aesthetically pleasing. And Arizona State plays Kentucky on Saturday in basketball. And I want to talk to Eric about that a little bit later in the show, or maybe tomorrow, because Bobby Hurley's doing some things that I like. And he's doing some things I really like. And they've got a true litmus test. They play at Kentucky, a team that lost to UCLA last week. And they do that on Saturday. But up next, Jim Nantz. We'll talk to Jim. He will join us on the other side. CBS NFL Network, NFL broadcaster, Hall of Fame broadcaster. He is doing tonight's game between the Cardinals and Vikings and also the Waste Management Open. He was put in as an honorary Thunderbird yesterday. We'll talk to Jim on both fronts. That's next.
For original, in-depth Arizona sports news you care about, follow us on Twitter at Sports360AZ.
Yesterday, I was at the Camelback Inn. It was the Waste Management Open tee-off luncheon. And it was one of those really cool events where the ballroom was hearing Jim Nantz at the podium. And when you have a Hall of Famer and he was sharing stories, and I'd say there's about 1,200 people that were there at the ballroom yesterday. And of course, we do a lot with the Thunderbirds, and I saw Gary McCord, and I saw Peter Kostas there before, and it was great to catch up with them. And Jim is talking, and as he is speaking, everybody's leaning forward in their seats yesterday. Again, this is the Camelback Inn. Everybody's leaning in. And Jim is talking about his broadcast career. They had a terrific video that was narrated by Mike Krzyzewski. As soon as I heard Coach K's voice, it's like, wow, this is – and I've been here 20-plus years. I hear the Thunderbirds go the extra mile. And Jim picks up his phone, and his wife was watching, his pregnant wife was watching the entire time. And it was really cool. The table that I was at, just to the side, the left side, there were a couple people that were wiping their eyes once Jim had his wife, and he actually held the phone up, and she spoke. And it was really cool. So here's a man that is a Hall of Famer, and he joins us now for a couple of minutes, Jim Nantz with Brad Sussmat, as he's getting ready for tonight's game with the Cardinals and Vikings. When you're in a moment like yesterday, do you know that you have the room? I mean, you do these things over and over and over, but with your wife watching, that was the extra pressure probably was on that iPhone in front of you, right, Jim?
I did, Brad. Thank you so much for that recap and the way you told it, and I'm really appreciative of that. It was such a special day with the Thunderbirds and with this community, and it was, for me, I just really missed having my wife there. You know, she was supposed to be there, but you know, she's late in the pregnancy. The doctors have told her to stay off her feet. She's not been assigned full-time bed rest, but it's the next closest thing. And I just hatched the idea in the morning that, you know, somehow I was going to stay connected with her back in California, and I would FaceTime her. And I just thought, you know, I'm going to hide the phone so no one's going to see it. I had created the connection before I took the stage, and I walked up, put it underneath the lectern there. No one saw it. And you know, when I set it up, it just kind of locked itself into position. It was just right. It wasn't going to slide. Mm-hmm. I could tell she could see me in that little box you have on FaceTime, and I could see her. And you know, occasionally I could look down, and I could see her, you know, watch her listening. And I wanted to share the moment with her. And then I came up with the term, instead of calling it a selfie, I called it a wifey.
Yeah.
And I should trademark that, because I had enough guys come up yesterday and said, I want to do that sometime.
Yeah, no,
but I was able to hold up the phone. Of course, they had all these cameras in the room and the giant screens. And I guess you guys could see her.
Yep.
You know, as I turned the FaceTime around toward the audience. And she said she could see, you know, the 1,200 people. It was just a phenomenal turnout of people yesterday. Anyway, the whole thing was just, the whole day was just a tremendous thrill.
I know time is short, so I'll get to it. I was going to work in Sandra Day O'Connor, but that'll have to go to the side, as we say, the editing floor. What strikes you most about seeing the Arizona Cardinals?
I just think this is such a dynamic team, Brad. They are loaded with playmakers on both sides of the football. Not many teams can ever say that. I mean, we know about this secondary and how exciting things can get when they make plays, and this fleet of receivers, Carson's arm, It's just there's a whole lot of good things coming together here in Arizona. It looks to me to be the most complete team in the NFL right now.
Bruce Arians' offense, why don't more people do it? It's as wide open. It's straight drop back. We see the spread formation. You've seen a lot of football through the years, but what's going on here in Arizona offensively? Why don't more NFL teams do it?
It's a great question because it's worked for him. It's the same kind of system that he really ran when he was the coordinator at Pittsburgh and then later at Indianapolis. But there's a certain demand on fearlessness when you're going to approach a game this way, when you're going to open it up like that. And a lot of these coaches are just, the mindset is ground and pound, we're going to dominate you on the line of scrimmage. Now, that doesn't mean that Arizona's not emphasizing winning the battle in the trenches. And they've done great things building up their offensive line since Bruce has gotten here. But there is a fearlessness with the way that he attacks offensively. And I just think the conservative nature of many coaches who have it ingrained in their head that the first thing they need to do is attack the line of scrimmage and just break the opponent's spirit by being able to run the football. Well, Bruce thinks, you know, I can break your spirit by coming up with all kinds of plays and wide open plays that you guys can't defend. Mm-hmm. And it works. And it's magical to watch. And this is just part of the reason why there's a magnetism about this team that to me is just on the brink of doing some great things.
Carson Palmer's MVP candidacy has been discussed, and Tom Brady is sitting out there. Carson's here in the desert, a real reclamation project coming over here for a low draft pick from the Raiders. Do you see an MVP candidate in Carson Palmer this year, Jim?
I do, and I don't see enough national momentum there for whatever reason, mm-hmm. Brad. I still think there's time for that to change. I think tonight's going to be a great window for him, and next week will too when they play once again in prime time. But the chatter, you know, and I read everything, so it seems like everybody begins with Cam Newton and Tom Brady. And by the way, they're worthy candidates. There's no question. I mean, where would those teams be if they were playing their backup quarterbacks? Well, that the same can be said here. And here in Arizona, you guys found out what it's like last year when you didn't play Carson Palmer at quarterback. Mm-hmm. He was undefeated, and then boom, the season went up in smoke, even though they were able to, thanks to Carson having won enough games, they're still able to get to the postseason. But, you know, he does not, for whatever reason, get mentioned top two or top one. He's in the discussion, but I think that, you know, I think what he's doing is every bit as good as what the other two guys are doing. And all three of them are outstanding performances.
Last question. You're going to go into your season, and you talked about it eloquently yesterday, but for those in the Valley that don't hear it, of broadcasting a real fun three and challenging three major events. You even alluded to the Final Four being here in 17, which I was happy to hear. I think that event hasn't received enough run. Just your calendar here, and you're going to become a father again in the next 3-4 months. What a great time to be Jim Nantz, if there was never a time to be Jim Nantz, right?
No, thanks, Brad. You know what? I count my blessings. Wake up to a beautiful day here in a beautiful part of this country. I love coming to Arizona. And I take inventory every day before my day begins of what I have, the how my life has been blessed. And I'm just grateful. I'm grateful to have, first, of course, and foremost, a wonderful family. And we're about to expand by one. Mm-hmm. My wife is really late in the pregnancy, and as we said, unable to travel yesterday, and it's going to be our first son. So I'm just
good
very thrilled about that. And then professionally, of course, to have the Triple Crown of events right around the corner, I can't really think about all of them as a whole. I've kind of got to take what's directly. I'm giving you coaches speak here, Brad. I'm sorry about that, but I get it. When I get in a position like this, I really try to maximize the present, and I can't think about that Super Bowl Final Four, that whole month. Yeah. Of games, 15 games leading up and calling the championship and the Masters. I mean, it's going to get here. But in the meantime, I want to enjoy this. I loved my day yesterday in the Phoenix area. I'm going to love this day today with this game tonight. I'm excited about being in this stadium. I've only been here a couple of times to do games. And, you know, the primetime showcase tonight with a team that's got a lot of buzz around it, and another team that is in the playoff hunt right now. I mean, I'm just very excited about it.
Stay well. Best of luck. And that was
Brad,
great
thanks
yesterday.
For the nice things you said, too, about being at the luncheon yesterday. That was really nice of you. I look forward to doing this again.
Thanks, Jim. Jim Nance is just so down to earth, man. We run across people all the time that their egos are just out of sorts about things that they shouldn't be out of sorts about. That's why you don't see do we have any maintenance people other than myself on this whole platform? I don't think we do.
Probably Jared Cohen a little bit. He's got a big head now. I mean, he's a big star, does a recruiting roundup.
Jason's got a big head by trade.
Correct. He's just a big person, not necessarily a big ego.
But, you know, when you talk about guests, there's not times that you and I walk out of the studio looking at each other saying, man, that guy's a prick that I can think of. Jim Nance is great. He's so good. And that there's just been very few times in doing this over the last 4 years. Not that there hasn't been through time. And I don't even mind when people bristle and get a little testy. It's fine. It's what happens in this biz.
Well, and we're lucky, like we talk about, Brad, our insiders between Fabiano and Pedro Gomez.
Pedro's
and
a little
Peter
maintenance, though.
And, no, he's not.
He's out of control.
Jake, Paula,
the
cast.
Yeah, when Peter King, Paula had her dog walking through the other day on the show, which I thought was just the best. Just, I wish the dog would have jumped up on her. Do you think Paula could do a TV show?
Sounds like we're going to give it a try. So
I'm getting to the point where I've got to be on assignment next week, and I'm not going to be able to do one of the TV shows. And so I'm looking at Paula and saying, I think it's time.
It's time.
It's time. You know, step up, bring your game. It's kind of like when you go to the club and they're playing the 20 something year olds are running in basketball league.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like 14 and they said, hey, get out here and play. And I was like, I don't really want, no, get out here and play. So I played really hard. And a guy took the ball and intentionally threw it off my face on an out of bounds play. Cause I was playing so hard, just trying too hard. So that's what we're going to do to Paula next week. I don't know where I'm going with that, but that's just me. The winter meetings are wrapping up, and we'll talk to Pedro about that in a few minutes. They have asked Brandon Phillips to waive his no-trade clause. If you look at the Diamondbacks and the makeup of their the position players, that's what I want to talk to Pedro about, is what type of notice does this serve? When they trade Dansby Swanson, what does that say for the shortstops that they have here? The easy answer is, well, it says that they should all be in place. You know, Dave Stewart, there's been a lot made about Tony La Russa and Dave Stewart and Ken Kendrick and Derek Hall and the whole front office part of this. And I really believe that this was Dave Stewart saying, minor league players are of value to us when we draft them. When we draft them. But we're not going to be in the business of developing a prospect that's going to take 3 or 4 years when we're in an industry that will not tolerate waiting 3 or 4 years. We see it in the NFL. NFL, if there's a quarterback, you draft him in the first round, he's playing. Doesn't matter unless you're Brock Osweiler. And what do you know? Brock Osweiler stood there, clipboard, baseball cap on for what, 4 years. And are we seeing the benefits of that? Yeah, they haven't thrown him to the wolves. Well, I think what Dave Stewart has done here by taking the farm system, they haven't gutted the farm system. They've taken two of their valued assets from the farm system. And by the way, just so we're clear on this, today's the Rule 5 draft. The Diamondbacks took 5 players in the Rule 5 draft. You may not think much of the Rule 5 draft, but Ender Inciarte was a Rule 5 draft guy. He was found by the organization. And he was a very, very good Major League Baseball player. So there's other ways to go about finding young talent. And it's cheap talent, too, in the Rule 5 draft, other than just in the draft. For those of you that are just throwing your arms up in the air, it's kind of like, look at what's happened to DJ Humphries this year with the Arizona Cardinals. First-round pick, hadn't seen the light of day, hadn't seen the field at all, and it's probably the best thing for him. When Jonathan Cooper came here, there was an expectation, we really need you to step up and we need you to play. And he's slid back a little bit this year. There's no question, okay? But he has been in the trenches. When Michael Floyd came in as a first-round pick and was immediately thrown out on the field and, oh, he's got fits on one side, he's going to be great, he wasn't great. And on the baseball end of things, you can't just take players like they're doing in the NFL and put them out there, and they better produce now. They have to produce now. And I believe that Dave Stewart in his belief system is, I am not going to sit here and tell fans or tell ownership that we've got a guy who's coming, he's 3 years away, when I'm not going to have a job in 3 years. If I sit here and I'm getting my head kicked in, I'm just not going to be able to move forward. So it's a different day in terms of how minor league talent is developed. And every organization is different, okay? But just look at how short fuse they were with Trevor Bauer. That was a Kevin Towers, very emotional, disrespected the game. We're going to get him out of here. There's one less arm. Look at how this group has handled Archie Bradley. The previous administration, Archie Bradley is going to be great. Archie Bradley is going to be this. Archie Bradley is going to be that. This present group has kind of given him the tough love routine.
And don't forget, Brad, the kid with the funky delivery who threw too hard. I don't know if you remember, Max Scherzer was another guy that turned out all right. So
But to your point, okay, you see where I'm
I didn't mean to interrupt you, but that is the one that hurts the most for me personally. I mean, Bauer's a fine pitcher, and some of these other guys, I mean, that they got rid of in the trade, we'll see. Dansby Swanson, I'm sure, is going to be a very good player, but you look at what Max Scherzer has done since he left Arizona, and you're just like, why?
Why? He's one of the highest paid pitchers in the game. But my point on this is, look at how pro sports, the idea of developing talent, okay, has become old school. It doesn't matter if it's the NBA. If you take a player in the mid-first round, like the Suns are trying to do it in a way of TJ Warren one day. Well, what do you know? Devin Booker is getting more and more minutes now.
Max Domi,
that's a great call. Guys, so organizationally, what we're seeing out of the Diamondbacks is this shift. The Cardinals have the luxury because they have some very good offensive linemen. So you can take Humphries, you can sit in there, and he can get progressively better, or you just flat miss on him, okay? That's on the NFL side. I think Michael Floyd has come a long, long ways, and it probably would have served him better to observe and become and learn without having the pressure being put right on him. Some guys can thrive in that space. If you're Jameis Winston, you're a quarterback, you're going to be thrown out in the field and everybody's hoping that you'll fail. He's been a Rookie of the Year candidate. He's played really, really well. My point is the Diamondbacks are taking this approach now, from my view, that you can't just sit here on guys. And it doesn't matter if it's even the number one overall pick. If we find a way to improve our team dramatically, from our view, we are willing to part with any young player. And the message that Dave Stewart sent, now if I'm any other team in Major League Baseball, any other team, I'm going to call because A, the Diamondbacks can absorb or try to absorb a contract. They've shown that now with Greinke. Their payroll is in a space where they can take on a little bit more. They are showing they're not willing to sit on farmhands for 3 and 4 years that you can call and ask about anybody. So I think that the message that the organization is sending out there is great. And I'm in agreement with that because the old way didn't work. You can be Keith Law and sit there all you want and say these guys are idiots in Arizona. Well, doing it the way that it was supposed to be done of developing and hanging on to talent didn't work. They've gotten crushed in this. Have you noticed that, E? They've gotten just destroyed in this whole, the Shelby Miller deal, the Diamondbacks have gotten crushed. There's no other way to put it.
Not by everybody, but by most. The minority think that, you know what, push all the chips in, go for it now, don't worry about 2019 or 2020. But for the most part, you're right.
They've gotten just annihilated. Like, here's this organization that couldn't buy any bit of attention nationally, and now because they're the ones, like I saw where Larry King today, and I love Larry King, the great Larry King talk show host, he just destroyed the Dodgers today. How can the Dodgers go in And I guess Greinke is close to Larry King. And Greinke's wife is close to Larry King. Whatever. But he's upset that the Dodgers, we might try to get Larry on the next few weeks, because a cranky Larry King is a good Larry King. And I think I can make that one happen. It's just really interesting. I'm talking about developing talent across all platforms in pro sports. And even on the college end of things, when you're a top high school kid, it used to be you would just kind of blend in. Well, now, if you're the top high school kid and you're Ben Simmons, and you may not know that name, but you will know that name. He's at LSU, and he's killing it, and he'll be there for 1 year in basketball. If Arizona State is able to get Thon Maker, he's there for 1 year. Kid named Thon Maker, he'll be there 1 year, and he'll move on. If you're in recruiting on high school football into college, if your name is N'Keal Harry and you're an Arizona State fan, you're already aware of him and you're expecting him to put it up next year and maybe not even be there for full years. That's just where we've come to now. Now, Pedro may disagree with me and crush me and all that. That's fine. And we'll talk with him next. Sports360AZ.com. That is our website. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Those of you checking us out on AZ Central Sports, we're with you every day at 10 a.m. as well. It's the exact same show as on my site. And then we have plenty of content on Sports360AZ.com. Sports360AZ.com. We're Arizona, Arizona, Arizona-centric. We have our nightly television show that is off except tonight. It's not on tonight because the Vikings-Cardinals game. We're smarter than that. Back with more after this timeout. Pedro Gomez is going to join us here in a moment. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. A little bit more on that Larry King story. So Larry King is an enormous baseball fan, is one of those people that I've come across at events. We sat together when 42, the Jackie Robinson movie, came out. And it was really cool to catch up with him. And whenever I've started a new show, Larry King is always my first guest because I admire what he's all about. But he's on a rant here about the Diamondbacks. He's really upset that the Diamondbacks have landed Greinke. Quote, "I can't stand what we're doing," talking about the Dodgers. "Those people in the Dodger front office, they think they're still in Tampa. This is Los Angeles. We're in the second largest market in the country. We led baseball in home and road attendance, and we haven't won a World Series since 1988. More from Larry King. "We are not Tampa, but they're acting like it. They have all this money and nothing," talking about the Diamondbacks. "We've got to do something." This is all about Greinke. Larry King said, quote, "My wife talks almost every day to Zach's wife. They loved it here. They wanted to stay here. But the Dodgers won't go to a sixth year on this deal and let him walk away. They'll rue the day for the next 6 years." Finally from Larry King, then we'll get to Pedro. "This is such a huge disappointment. It's looking like a third-place team to this point. I know it's early, but Dodger front office has been a failure," end quote. You've seen Larry King, I'm sure, Pedro, at things through the years. He's one of the biggest Dodger fans. Kind of fun to hear him cranky. A cranky Larry King is a good, especially about Zach Greinke, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of Dodger fans that are very upset that the boys in blue couldn't keep him. And you know, you looked at a $300 million payroll last year, and yet there were flaws all over the place. And it just goes to show that just because you're spending money does not mean that you have the roster that you should. Because you look at the Kansas City Royals, and their roster at the end of the year, and that was after they made the deal for Cueto, was about $150 million. So it was half of the Dodgers' payroll, and yet you'd much rather have that Royals roster. But, of course, it comes from player development. And that, you know, Hosmer, Moustakas, Lorenzo Cain, Salvador Perez, those are all original Royals. You're not going out, Alex Gordon, another one. You're not going out and having to sign guys or trade for big money guys. It really, the key is player development. And, Brad, you can go back to the late 1990s when the Yankees won four World Series in 5 years. Well, Derek Jeter, Jorge Posada, Mariano Rivera, Bernie Williams, those guys were all original Yankees. They did it through player development. Andy Pettit as well, a draft pick. You know, it's not about going out and signing the best guy. It's about developing. And that's why when you see A.J. Pollock and Paul Goldschmidt and Patrick Corbin, you see player development. You see draft picks who are panning out.
All right. In a word or two, how would you sum up Greinke, Miller, Brandon Phillips' pursuit? What would you say about the last week of the Diamondbacks?
It's very reminiscent to 1999 when they went out and got Randy Johnson and they got Steve Finley and they traded for Luis Gonzalez. It's extremely reminiscent of those times. I know that the Diamondbacks have been getting criticized for giving up too much in exchange for Shelby Miller. And sure, that could play out down the road. You could see Dansby Swanson be a five-time All-Star. You know, you could see Blair become an All-Star or an upper-level type pitcher. And if that happens, it happens. But you know what? If the Diamondbacks get something out of it, if they get to the World Series, then it's all worth it. I talked to people from the Kansas City Royals front office, and they gave up a lot to get Johnny Cueto at the trade deadline. But it absolutely was worth it because they got the ring.
Right.
They got the ring. You do anything you have to do to get the ring. And that's what the Diamondbacks are hoping is at the end of this rainbow.
Okay, let's check boxes here first on Greinke. What is your thumbnail on Greinke in that whole deal?
We talked all year about how the Diamondbacks had to have somebody to lead this pitching staff. And it wasn't necessarily in a mentoring role, but it was somebody that could be that dominant guy at the top. Because when you got a bunch of 3, 4, and 5s, it's hard. It's hard to put good stretches together. Mm-hmm. So you had to get a guy. I was shocked that it was this dominant of a guy, but you know, the Diamondbacks felt like, hey, why not? Dave Stewart told me yesterday when I was in Nashville with him that they originally proposed this, and Ken Kendrick was like, oh, no way. Then he slept on it, and the next morning he said, you know what? If this is something that truly will put us over the top and into contention, let's go ahead and do it.
Shelby Miller.
You know, the 3.02 ERA speaks for itself. The 17 losses are obviously something, but a lot of times pitchers can't control that. You can control your ERA. Shelby Miller, when he was with St. Louis a couple of years ago, a lot of people in baseball thought that is a very, very, very solid number two type pitcher. Mm. Because at that point, Wainwright was the ace of the staff. And, a lot of times when you pitch with a dominant one, if you are, let's say, a two, you can slide into that role knowing Greinke is going to carry the load. He's going to match up against the Kershaws and the Cuetos and the Syndergaards or the Harveys. And I'll just take the number two, the co-starring role, so to speak. But I'm going to follow that lead, and we've seen it time and again where that number two kind of takes on the presence of a number one. When Verlander was easily the number one in Detroit, we saw Scherzer take on that role and say, you know what, I'm gonna try to match what Verlander can do. And you might say that Scherzer surpassed Verlander at this point. So you get a guy with great stuff, and you put him with easily a number one, and a lot of times they tend to flourish even more than they ever had.
Brandon Phillips has to just waive his no trade clause. I don't know what the deal would look like. I don't know what's in place. You would know much more than I would. Why wouldn't he want out of Cincinnati? Unless there's a personality riff here with somebody with the Diamondbacks in their front office or ownership, what would preclude him from saying, yeah, let's go. Why not? Because he's not going to win a title
at this point,
Cincinnati.
Exactly. Cincinnati is going nowhere right now. Heavy rebuilding program. They started in 162 games last year. They started a rookie on the mound 110 times.
Wow.
So it's no wonder they lost over 90 games.
Yeah.
And Brian Price's hair is a lot grayer than it used to be. I don't know. I don't know what the holdup is unless he's trying to leverage a little bit of money out of it. I've seen that in the past. Ricky Henderson certainly did that at one point in his career where, I'll go, but you try to leverage because it's not like Brandon Phillips is in for another big payday down the road. If he does get another contract down the road, it's not going to be what he's getting now.
Right.
So he might be trying to leverage a little bit of money out of it.
Hmm. Would you be in favor of him coming here? Think it'd be good of an upgrade?
You know, he's really, really solid defensively. I don't think offensively he is what he was a couple of years ago, but I don't think he'd be viewed upon as being, hey, we need you in the two or three spot. He'd probably be a lower in the batting order type of guy. It'd be interesting. It'd be interesting.
Okay, last question. I'll let you go, and I appreciate you coming on twice this week.
Yeah.
So I'm going to try to wrap this together in the way that makes sense, and it's somewhat difficult to do, but here it goes. Jerry Colangelo was accused of running the organization off a cliff for spending recklessly. In 1999, as you pointed out, and I wrote talked about it this week, Steve Finley came 5 days after, or 2 days after, Randy Johnson had signed. Is in a strange sort of way, is Ken Kendrick doing the exact same thing Jerry did by doing this Greinke deal and taking a lot of the focus on let's win now rather than down the road? Or is it because of the big television contract with Fox Sports Arizona, they can afford to do this and it's apples and oranges?
I think it's a combination of all those things. I do think that, there's obviously more money. The Diamondbacks have the lowest average ticket price in the major leagues. So they need bodies inside the stadium, because we saw last year, yeah, it was a much better season than the year before, but there were a lot of times I went to games and the stadium was still less than half full.
Right.
They need bodies in the stadium. And a lot of times you winning is the only thing that puts bodies inside the stadium. So I think they're looking at it where they probably have not been making much money, if at all, over the course of the last 5 years. And you know how it is, Brad. You got to spend in order to do something. So right. I think they viewed it as, you know what, we've tried this formula for 5 years or so, and nobody's coming out to the games. So let's try to make the Diamondbacks more of an it ticket in town and see if this works, this plan. And I think that's probably more in line. I think it's more of a, but you know what, they've got to get off to a good start. If they do not get off to a good start, fans here are going to be like, I'm not going to go down there because they're still not contending. So I think it's imperative that they get off to a good start. If it's the end of April, they're in first place or at least very close. I think we'll see a surge in attendance.
Stay well.
That's
appreciate
what they're counting on.
You got it.
Okay, Brad.
See ya. It's Pedro Gomez with us for a few minutes. Twice in 1 week, and both times he killed it. More from Larry King. Crying in my iced coffee right now. Looks like the Dodgers lost Greinke. Sad, sad, sad. That was from December 4th. Should I chase him? I think I can get him.
We've had him on before.
What do you think?
Sure. That nugget that Pedro threw out there about the Reds starting a rookie 110 times out of 162 games. What? Wow.
We're paying to watch this. Sports360AZ.com. That is our website. We have plenty of content up on Sports360AZ.com. We're Arizona, Arizona, Arizona-centric. Yeah, we do the pro stuff. We wrap in college and we wrap in high school. And we have great guests like Pedro Gomez. He's a weekly insider with us. We have Peter King with us every week. One of the best, if not the best, insider in the NFL. With the Monday Morning Quarterback and Sports Illustrated, Peter King's with us every week. Jake Plummer's with us every week. He'll be with us tomorrow. Goody at the Movies. Nobody better than Goody in the Movies. Paula Bovin. I mean, it would just go. Michael Fabiano. Jimmy Vaccaro. So, it's fun. It's fun doing this. Cardinals-Vikings tonight. Enjoy your day.